Today's Tamid Daf Lamed Gimel, the last Daf in Maseches Tamid, and today's only Mishnayos. I think this is the only time in all of Daf Yomi that we do three Prakim in one day. I don't recall another time where we did three Prakim in one day. But Lamed Beis and Beis, we're up to the fifth parak of Maseches Tamid. Yeah, we're beginning the fifth parak of Maseches Tamid. So says the Mishnah, Amar Lahem Amuna, Berachu Bracha Acha. So now we last left the Kohanim. They already brought up the Avarim to the ramp of the Mizbeach. Then they went off to the Lishchas Hagazis. And now the Mamuna says to them to go say Shema. And now the Mamuna says to them, go and say one Bracha, meaning there is two brachas you're really normally supposed to say before Kriya Shema, but time is of the essence, they don't have much time to waste, so they're supposed to say one bracha. Which bracha? Machlokas, of course, but it's one of the brachas before Shema. They embarked and they made the bracha. Karu aseres hadibros, Shema vayim Shema vayomer. Interesting, they not only said Shema vayim Shema vayomer, the three parshas of Shema, they also read the aseres hadibros. So if you look on the side where the mefarish used to be, first of all it says, Mikan ve'eluchu pirush harambam zal, that from here on, we're working with the Rambam, so apparently the Rambam says Kvarnis Bar Begamar Brachos Shar Bracha Zol Shoy Mevarkun Tchila Hi Avas Olam. First of all, the bracha that they would make is the bracha of Avas Olam. V'achash Hashem Zarech V'Arm Espashin Mevarkun Yotzer Ar. And then after the sun would shine, they would make the bracha of Yotzer Ar. Of Yotzer Ar, Lefi Sheseder Brachos Ein Ma'akev. Normally, Yotzer Ar is supposed to come before Avas Olam, but the Seder Ar Brachos is not Ma'akev, so they would say Avas Olam at this point. Later on, Yotzer Ar. K'moshen Zbarasham, Umasham Rukaru Aseres Hadibros Bechol Yom, Lefi Sheheim Iker Hadas Vireshiso. The reason that they would read Aseres Hadibros every day is because that is the Iker of our religion and the beginning of it. Ukvar Amru Begvulim Bikshulomarkin. And the Gemara already says in Maseches Brachos that they wanted to do this big vulim as well. They wanted to make the Aseres Hadibros part of Kriya Shema. El Kshvar Bitlu Mipnei Tarumus Aminin. But they were mevatel this idea based on Tarumus Aminin, based on the fact that people are going to say that the Aseres Hadibros are the only part of Torah that's given min Hashemayim, and they're gonna downgrade the rest of Torah and assume that the rest of Torah is not as important. So in order to avoid such claims, they didn't want to single out Aseres Hadibros. Well, Bira Bavli Mari Taromos Aminim. Now the Bavli never explains exactly what the Taromos Aminim is. Elishin is bar b'tchilas brachos b'Yerushalmi. V'amr b'dinu shkarn Aseres Hadibros b'chol yom v'yom. Amnei mayim karnas amibnei aminim shlo yu omrim elu levado. That's the Torah Masaminim. They're going to say that the only thing that was really given to Moshe at Har Sinai is the Aseres Hadibros. And this is something we're very sensitive to. The Gemara obviously was sensitive to. And we try to be sensitive to the idea of the Rambam in particular, tried to be very sensitive to the idea of elevating any part of Torah in the way we treat it over the rest of Torah. So that's why he had issues with standing for the reading of the Aseres Hadibros. It's a major discussion why we have a minhag, why it's okay to have a minhag to stand for the Aseres Hadibros. Could be that it's dafka when it's read B'toras Dibros with the trup, the Tam Elyon of B'toras Dibros, where it's clearly just a reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah, of Maimed Har Sinai, as opposed to where you read it B'toras Torah. If you were to just read it as part of the Torah with the Tam Tachton, then maybe that would be more of a problem to stand, because then we would be treating it separately as part of the Torah. There are major discussions in the poskim about displaying the Aseres Hadibros, Tadafka have the Aseres, like we have on the Aron Kodesh, Tadafka have the Aseres Hadibros on display, as opposed to any other part of Torah. It looks like perhaps we're singling it out. So this is in general something that clearly we do single out the Aseres Hadibros certain times. There is a minhag Yisrael that we do have displays of the Aseres Hadibros on parochas of Aron Kodesh and things like that, and yet there is also the sensitivity of the Taromos Aminim. We discussed these issues at different times. Now we're not going to have time today to really get into it. So they would say the Aseres Hadibros, three parshas of Shema, Baruchos Am Shalosh Brachos. They would then be mevarich the nation with three brachos, emes viyatziv avavodo birchos kohanim. They say emes viyatziv, the brach of ritzei, and in Shemona Esrei, the brach of ritzei, and birchos kohanim. U'b'shabbos mosivim bracha achas l'mishmar yotzei. And on Shabbos they would add an extra bracha for the outgoing mishmar. The dafka, they would make a bracha about shalom between all the different parts of Klal Yisrael, dafka in honor of the mishmar yotzei, because it could be a little contentious when one group has to leave and the other group has to come in. Says the next Mishnah, Mishnah Beis, Amar Lahem, Chadashim L'Ktores Bo V'Fisu. They said, whoever is new to the Ktores, whoever has not yet ever had the opportunity to be Makdir the Ktores, could come and join the lottery, join the raffle, to see if you're going to be able to be Makdir the Ktores. Zacha Misha Zacha, and whoever won that right was lucky enough to be able to win that right and to be Makdir the Ktores. Then they said, well, anybody is able to join the raffle to choose who brings the Evarim from the ramp all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Amal Evarim Lekevesh Hu Malos An Legabim Mizbeach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, they didn't do a lottery, they didn't need to do a raffle to determine who is going to bring the Evarim from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. That was simply determined by the same people who brought the same six Kohanim, who brought the different parts of the Evarim of the Talmud to the Mizbeach, to the Kevesh, would bring from the Kevesh up to the top of the Mizbeach. But it's interesting, this Mishnah starts with Chadashim L'Ktores Bo V'Fisu. Only people who are new to the Ktores should come and do this lottery to determine who brings the Ktores. So this is something that obviously we don't have Ktores Bizman Hazeh, so you think doesn't really play itself out Alech L'maisa, but is actually mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah and Yerodeh and some Reish Samachay, Sifir Aleph, writes in the name of the Ma'aril that a person should not serve as Sandik on two different children. And that's based on the comment of the Gemara in Yuma, as well as this Mishnah right here in relation to the Ktores. The Gemara says that the same Kohen wouldn't do the Ktores twice, because the performance of the Ktores has the power to make somebody wealthy. The Gemara in Yuma expounds beyond what it says over here, that it has the ability to be mashia, that it's a school of rashirus. So the Miril says a person shouldn't honor the same person to serve a sandik twice, because we prefer to spread the wealth. We prefer not to give the school of ashirus to the same person so many times. The Gra in Reish Samachay, Sifkat Mem Vav, challenges Maril, and he says, Lo re'inu sandik mis asher. Basically, anecdotal evidence does not suggest that people who serve as sandik actually discover newfound wealth. And there are a lot of different answers as to what the Maril meant. Meaning, Maril must have realized that not everybody who serves as a sandik becomes wealthy. So the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas and Archaim Sim Kufnil Ches says that it's possible that the averos of the sandik prevent the bracha from taking effect. But really, there is this bracha of Ashirus. The Makor Chesed quotes from the Ma'orei Naim that the guarantee of Chazal. That the guarantee Chazal have aser b'shvil shetes asher, that give tzedakah in order that you should become wealthy, is fulfilled by a person being blessed with the midah of what we read yesterday, ezu asher has sameach b'chelko, just being happy with what he has. That's the true definition of wealth. So that's what we mean. It's a school of rashirus. It's a school of rashirus that he's going to be happy with what he has. Rav Sternbach in Shuvas Van Hagos Chelik Alef Sim Tavkuf Pei Dalid says that wealth doesn't only mean with money. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mevatel gzeros rose against the person, having other brachos in the family, that's also wealth. The Chidai in Pesach Einayim in Yuma Daf Chavav says that the level of wealth a person experiences can have a direct correlation with the level of love expressed in doing the mitzvah. Okay, all sorts of different possibilities of how maybe there's some way to justify this Maharil, this suggestion of the Maharil that a person gets ashirus. But it all relates to this idea, to what we're saying right here, that the Ktores, you'd only get to do the Ktores once. And there is this correlation, apparently, between the Ktores and a bris mila. It's a medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis Rabbah Parshas Mem Zayin, that when Avram gave bris mila to Bnei Beso, he piled up the foreskins into a small mountain, and when the sun shone on them, these what probably should have been putrid aroma of the burning foreskins or the rotting foreskins was as pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Ktores, the Medrash says. So apparently, for whatever reason, that Medrash had the mazel that Poskim took it very seriously, and they relate Bris Mila to HaKadosh HaKadosh on a lot of levels. The Darkei Moshe in Yerodeh says that a Sandik is considered to have a bigger chiyuv for an Aliyah LaTorah than the Mo'el, because the Sandik is like the Maktir HaKadosh. They took this very the poskim took this very seriously. Rama quotes from Maril that you'd go to the mikvah prior to being nisandik based on the connection to Ketores. Kohen who brings the Ketores obviously has to go to the mikvah prior to doing the avoda. The Rama says it's a chumra b'alma, inogin kain, but still there are all these. I collected once in an article. I collected nine different halachic or minhagim in bris milah that directly relate to the fact that bris milah is related to the Ketores. So it's really something that, for whatever reason, really found its way into the way we do a bris milah. Now it should be noted that Rabbi Yehuda in Madur Kamas in Pevav completely rejects the Maril entirely. He says the whole source for the milah relating to Ketores might only relate to Hashem's joy in how we do the mitzvah. That it's ki'ilu, it's makti the Ketores, the Medrash says, when the foreskins were rotting in the sun. But it's not to all the other side elements of the Ketores, like the school of wealth that comes from the mitzvah. In fact, he says, if you read the Gemara in Yuma carefully, it indicates that the ability of the Ketores to confer wealth is a result of the fact that it's such a rare privilege that it doesn't. It's only once a day, and only one person could do it each day. The Mila is hardly like that. Where it, throughout Klal Yisrael, there are many, many Baruch Hashem, many, many children getting their Bris Mila today, and many more will have tomorrow. And it happens every day. It's not with many more than one, so it's not at all as rare a privilege. So the Nodeb Yehuda doesn't buy it. He doesn't think that the whole equation with the school of Ashirus makes any sense. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Bir Agra say maybe the real reason is probably more mystical. It's probably Al Pi Kabbalah. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that the Rama only quoted the reason the Maril in order to avoid openly writing Kabbalistic minhagim in Shulchan Aruch. But even the Rama believed that the Kabbalistic reasons were the true reasons for this minhag. But whatever it is, that is a minhag that has been defined by the Ketores. So that's our little bit of a remainder of the Ketores, or how they used to do the Ketores, that we still have bizman hazeh. Okay, Mishnah Gimel, Masum l'chazanim, they would then give them over the Kohanim who did not win, who now are not going to be serving, but were already wearing big day kuna, were now handed over to the chazanim, to the people who were in charge of the begadim. Hayimafshitin osamus bigdayim, they would help undress them, remove their big day kuna. But they will leave the mechnasayim on. They wouldn't leave them totally naked. They would leave them with the mechnasayim on. The chalonos hayisham v'kasaleim tash v'shakelim. And they had chalonos again. Doesn't mean we translate chalon always as window. It doesn't mean window. Chalon usually either means a skylight or it means a cubby. It means like a little. That's what we say at the end of Makos, that the family of Kahuna that was punished, chalona sasum. Its chalon was closed. What does it mean? Its chalon was closed. There were no windows that each family. They had cubbies where they would keep their kelim, where they would keep their things. So that was closed up. So they had these different little cubbies that were written on them, the tashmish hakelim, what the different kelim to keep the different kelim and what they were for. So Mishnah Dalet, Misha Zacha b'Ketores, the one who was zochet to be able to do the Ketores, hayinota l'sakaf. He would take the spoon, vakaf dom l'tarkav gadol, it looked like a giant spoon, shalzav, made out of gold, machzeka shlosha kavin, that was able to hold three kavin. Is a kaf, I guess, better than spoon, we would say a ladle, like a large. And the spoon was inside of it, malei v'gadush ketores, and it was full of ketores. V'kisui hayelo, and it had a cover on top of it, ukemin mituteles, like a soft type of cover, like a piece of leather or a piece of cloth. Machlokas rishonim hayelo milamalan. So again, kisui hayelo, ukemin mituteles hayelo milamalan. It had a cover, and then in addition to the cover, they covered the cover with this soft cloth, with this mituteles, with this shmata, except it was a nice piece of leather, a nice piece of cloth, made it look nice as a way of giving extra cover to the whole avoda, made it look a little nicer. Mishnah Hey, Misha Zacha b'machta, the one who was zocha with the machta, who took the shovel, natal mitachas machtas hakesef, he would take the silver shovel, va'alo l'rosh ha-mizbech, and he would go up to the top of the mizbech, ufina asagachalim heilach, and he would move over some of the coals in this direction and that direction, clear off some of the outer coals so that he could get right to the inner core coals that were there. The chita, and he would dig out from the inner coals, yarad v'iran l'toch shel zav, and then he would go down and he would empty them out into a golden shovel. So he was using a silver shovel to remove the coals on top of the mizbeach, and he would go down and bring them and drop them into a silver shovel. Now remember, these coals are going to be used. We're now discussing the avodas haketores, so these coals are going to be used to burn the spices, to burn the ketores. So often when he would empty from one to the other, from the silver shovel to the gold shovel, some coals would spill out. So about a kav of coals would spill out. And someone else would go and sweep them into the amma. The amma was this drainage system that they had running through the Beis HaMikdash. So he would sweep it into the amma. But on Shabbos they weren't allowed to remove it. So they would put a kli over it upside down. So that was a way of covering it up. The psachter itself was a large kli that could hold a lesech. And it had two chains attached to the kli. One that he would pull onto as they were lowering it from the mizbeach. And one, if they were lowering it down the ramp, so that he would hold it from the top so that it wouldn't roll, it wouldn't turn over and roll down the ramp. This kli served three different functions. Number one is what we said, that they would use it to cover up coals. Number two is that if there was a sheretz found in the Beis HaMikdash, so it depends where. Certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash, they found the sheretz, they just had to get rid of it immediately. But if they found it elsewhere, other parts, then they would just be kofa kli, they would put a kli on top of it. And they would use it to lower the ashes from on top of the mizbech. That's why they needed that chain, because they were lowering the ashes in it from the mizbech. So in general, getting rid of a sheretz is an interesting discussion in halacha, because the sheretz is muktzah, but in most places we would assume a sheretz would constitute a graf shel rai, that the halacha is that if you have something that's muktzah means that it has no use on Shabbos, that it has not been designated from before Shabbos for any use, and there's no further use for it on Shabbos. So typically speaking, most items that are muktzah are asur b'tiltul. You're not allowed to, all items in muktzah are asur b'tiltul, you're not allowed to move them. There are certain items, a very rare, not rare, but only one form of muktzah that's mutter l'taltul, tzorach gufo, tzorach makomu, that's klisha melachta l'isir. But all the other forms of muktzah, you're not even allowed to move l'tzorach gufo, l'tzorach makomu, even if you need the space where it's currently taking up, or you need the item itself, it's not permissible to move most forms of muktzah, even but there is an exception, and that's called graf shel rai, that if you have something that's disgusting to keep around, so you're allowed to move it out of the way. If it's something that ruins the whole look of it, so that why are we allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos? After all, the garbage contains mostly muktzah items, bones and whatever, and things that are not usable anymore, because to leave garbage around is as it piles up and up and up is disgusting. So graf shel rai, we're allowed to remove it. So Pashas is the sheretz is also a graf shel rei. I don't remember the whole sugya of why it is that that we don't always allow removing it, but apparently in certain parts of the Mikdash where we're not as concerned with the tumma of the sheretz being there, we would just be kofel of kli, we would just put a kli on top of it. Okay, Mishnah Vav. Higiu benu ulam lemizbeach. Now they got to the area between the ulam and the mizbeach. Again, these are the people that are being mocked here, the ketores. So one of them has the ketores, one of them has the shovel full of coals. So now, one of them's got a spoon of ketores, the other one is, or whatever you want to call it, we'll call it a spoon, ladle of ketores, the kli within a kli. The other one has a shovel of coals. So they would get to between between the ulam and the mizbeach, natal echad asama greifa v'zarka ben ulam l'mizbeach. And one of them, someone would take the magrefa, which is the instrument that looked like a shovel, which made a loud noise, and they would just chuck it, they would throw it between the ulam and the mizbeach, and that would make a pretty loud noise. It makes such a loud noise that ein adam shmei kol chaveru b'yushalayim mikol magrefa. That for those few seconds that it was rattling around, no one was able to hear each other in all of Yerushalayim. In the middle, conversations were interrupted. It's like when you live here in the five towns and a plane goes overhead. For those couple of seconds, it used to be when the Concorde would fly. Then you'd really know it. So when the plane would go overhead, conversations were interrupted for a couple of seconds. So that's what happened in Yerushalayim from this Kolam Agrefa. Ushlosh Dvarim Haisim Shameshes, and it served three functions. This noise that the Magrefa made. That was a sign that the Kohanim were about to be Mishtachave. So a Kohen who heard it from the outside would run in and be Mishtachave together with the other Kohanim. Ben Levi, who would hear this sound, would know that his fellow Levim were about to say the Shira, and he would come in to join them. And the Rosh HaMaimed would set up the Tamei Kohanim in the Shara Mizrach when he heard the sound of this Magrefa. Now we move on to the sixth parak of Maseches Tamid. So says the Mishnah, Hechelu olim b'malos ulam. They then went up on the malos, the steps by the ulam. This is in order to do the birchas kohanim. So Misha zachu b'dishum mizbech apnimi v'amenorah hay makdim lefnehem. The people who did the dishum mizbech apnimi and the dishum menorah, the removal of the ashes from the mizbech apnimi and from the menorah, would go first. They would come out first. Misha zachu b'dishum mizbech apnimi. The one who was zocher in the dishum mizbech apnimi would come in. He would take the tani. He would take the little jug. He would be mishtachave, and he would leave. Misha zocher b'dishum menorah nichnas umatzah shtei neros me'arvim dolkin. The one who was zocher b'dishum menorah would come in, and he found. Remember, he cleaned out five of the candles, but he left the two western candles still lit. So he would find them still lit. Medashi. He would clean out the eastern one of the two western candles, and he would leave the westernmost one continually lit, and they would use that fire from the westernmost candle to light the menorah in Bein Arbayim, to light the menorah in the evening. And the point is, this was a miracle, the fact that they put the same amount of oil every evening into all seven candles, and yet by the morning five of them were extinguished, and a little later in the morning the sixth one was extinguished as well, and yet the seventh one lasted 24 hours. It went straight throughout the day. There's also discussion about how often there was a mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. If I'm not mistaken, the Shitas HaRambam is that they would light the menorah twice a day, once in the evening and then again in the morning. It doesn't sound that way from the Mishnayos. I think the Mishnayos pose a bit of a problem for the Shitas HaRambam, because the Mishnayos sound like they're not lighting anything right now. They're just cleaning it out, and later in the evening, when it comes to Bein Arbayim, when they have to light the menorah, they're going to use the flame that's already there from the flame that's already there from the westernmost candle of the menorah. Matzu Shakava, if they found that it had been extinguished, could happen. Midashno Madlika Omi Mizbecha Ola. Then they would clean it out, and they would end up being madlikit from the Mizbecha Ola. Natal Sakoz Mimalda Shnia Vishtacha Vyatza. So now they would take remember they left something on there was that stone that had three steps right in front of the menorah. We learned a couple of prakim ago. So and you left the previous Kohen, it was there, cleaning out the five, or the same Kohen, but cleaning out the five candles was left, the Koz left this Kli on the second of those five steps. So this person would now take that and be Mishtachaveh and leave. The one who had the machta, who had the shovel of coals that he got from on top of the large mizbeach would now pile up those coals on the small mizbeach, what we call the mizbeach haktores, and this is why it's called the mizbeach haktores, because we would burn the ktores on the small mizbeach. V'radidon b'shalei amachta. So after he would pile it up with the shovel, the coals, he would flatten out the coals with the backside of the shovel, you know, to make it an even layer of coals. V'shtachve, and he was m'shtachve. And he walked out, he left. Misha zacha b'ktares, then the one who was zocha to have the ktares, haya notel sabazich mitocha kaf, v'nosel lo'ova l'krova. He took the inner kli from outside of the from inside of the outer kli, and he would give it to Oavo Okrovo. Very interesting. I don't know where else we have this in the Avodas Beis Hamikdash, that you get to choose who you want. This one didn't work with pious. It didn't work with the lottery. With that, you got to bring a friend. So he brought his friend Oavo Okrovo, and he would give him the kli Nispazim Yimenu L'Tocho, and it would sometimes wouldn't pour out perfectly. So Nosla b'chafnaf, he would then take, again, this wasn't hot, now we're not dealing with coals, we're dealing with spices that were not yet burnt, so he would give it into his hands. So the Kohen who was going to do the Avodah was holding the Ketores in his hands. Umulamdim also, and they would teach him, Havizayr shematasko mipenecha shlo tichve, that when you're dropping these spices on the coals that are sitting on top of the Mizbeach HaKetores, don't drop it don't start in front of you and then work your way further away from your body, because then you're going to burn your arms. As the spices drop on the coals, smoke would come right up, and obviously if you were reaching over as that smoke was rising, it would burn your arms. So you start from far away and you drop it as you draw your hands closer to your body. So when the smoke would rise, it wouldn't hit you. So they would teach him, but you have to be careful, that you shouldn't get burnt. So he would do that, and he would smooth them out. He would evenly spread them evenly over the coals, and he would leave. The one who's maktir the ktoros would not be maktir until the mamuna would say to him, be maktir. If the Kohen Gadol, whenever he decided he wanted to do it, could do it. He could knock off whoever won the lottery, say, okay, you thought you won today, but I'm in the mood. So if the Kohen Gadol was the one that was maktir the ktoros, so he had that ability. But omerlo, the phrasing of what the mamuna would say was slightly different. He would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hakter. Instead of just saying Hakter, when you're talking to the Kohen Gadol, you have to address him by his title, because that's the proper respect that you have to show to the Kohen Gadol. So he would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hakter. Pershu Am V'Hiktir V'Shtachve V'Yatza. So everyone would leave, because he had to be all alone when he was Maktir. So everyone would leave, he'd actually be Maktir, then he was M'Shtachve, and he was Yotze, and he left, and that was the Haktaris that they would do every single day in the Beis Hamikdash. So Adron Lachichelu Olim, and now we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Tamid. So says the Mishnah, Bizman Shekohen Gadol Nichnas L'Shtachavos, when the Kohen Gadol would go in to bow down, Shlosha Ochzin Bo, there were three people that were holding on to him. The Rosh explains over here, what does it mean, Nichnas L'Shtachavos? After the haktara, after he did the ktaras, he would go into the hechel to bow down. You're not allowed to just stop walking to the hechel whenever you want. Says the Rosh, don't worry, this is not a bia rekanis. This is not walking in for no reason. It's not just stop walking whenever he wants. This is considered an avoda. Hishtachava itself is considered an avoda. So there were three people that would accompany him and really hold on to him, as the Rosh says, the kavod shel kohen gadol kasher shesomchun ba avoda b'kinisaso lehechal hamelech. So he had an entourage. That's also part of the kavod that they would show the kohen gadol. So what would these three people do? Echad b'yamino ve'echad b'smalo. One guy would be on his right side, one guy on his left side, ve'echad ba'avanim tovos, and one of them would be holding on to the fine gems that were on the choshen. V'kivin sheshama muna kol raglav shel kohen gadol shu yotzei, when the mamuna would hear the sounds of the footsteps of the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol was on his way out, he gbiya lo sa parochas. So you lift up the parochas that was hanging in front of the Pesach HaHechel that was there just for tznius, and he would lift it up in order to allow the Kohen Gadol to get out. Nichnas mishtachva v'yatza. And then the Mamuna would go in and be mishtachva and leave. Nichnas huachva kohanim mishtachva v'yatza. And then other kohanim would go in and be mishtachva and yotze. So bova amdal mal. They then went and stood on the Malos Ulam. So again, this is Birchas Kohanim now. They went to stand in the Malos Ulam. This is where they're going to do the Birchas Kohanim. The Malos Ulam were not the Chamesh Esrei Malos of the Shira Malos that the Gemara in Sukkah talks about. That was in a different location. This is the Malos Ulam is where they would stand to do the Birchas Kohanim. Amdu Arishonim L'Dorom Acheihem HaKohanim. So the original Kohanim, meaning the Kohanim who were charged with the cleaning of the ashes out of the different things, out of the menorah and the mizbeach, so those kohanim who cleaned out the ashes stood to the south of the other kohanim, the chamisha kelim biyadam, and they held five different kelim, hateni biyarechad, vakuz biyarechad, vamachta biyarechad, vabezach biyarechad, vakaf vikisuya biyarechad. All the kelim we just spoke about that they needed to use in the various parts of the procedure of being maktir the ketores, and removing the ashes. So they were all holding, five different people were holding those five different kelim. Ubarchas am bracha achas, and they made one birchas kohanim. They were mivarich klal Yisrael with one birchas kohanim. If you look at the Rush, ubarchas am bracha achas nasu kapeim levarichas Yisrael yivrecha yar yisa yomer biyachad bli hefsek b'natayim. The difference is they, as the Mishnah is about to point out, that they made bracha achas even though it's three separate psukim. Birchas kohanim consists of three separate psukim. They said all three psukim all at once without being mafsek at all. She'ein there was no answering amen in the mikdash, so there was nothing to be mafsik between the different brachos. Frak the Rush, wait a second. How could you say that they weren't mafsik at all in the middle of Birchas Kohanim? Didn't they have to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed every time they heard the Shem Hashem? So isn't that itself being mafsik? So he says no. Even though the Gemara in Yuma talks about saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed when they heard the Shem Hashem, that was only on Yom Kippur. That was special for Yom Kippur. But in general, in the Mikdash, since this bracha in general was only a bracha that was not only, but was a bracha to be mevarich klal Yisrael. It wasn't just tam a bracha to Hashem that was a private bracha. It was something to be mevarich klal Yisrael with. So they wouldn't say baruch shem kol machsol liolam ved. The remnant of that minhag of baruch shem kol machsol liolam ved every time they heard the shem Hashem is what the Torah quotes from his father, the Rush. I think the Torah quotes from the Rush that the Rush had a minhag that every time he'd hear the shem Hashem in the context of any bracha, really it sounds like mamish any bracha, in the context of any bracha, he would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, which is a different formulation. It's not Baruch Shem Kol Machsol Yom Ved. He would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and that's a minhag that most people have. I would say that when we hear brachos in the morning by davening and by Chazar Sashat, that people say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. There were those who didn't like that minhag, who thought that it might create a hefsek in places where you shouldn't be mafsik. And in Chazar Sashatz, maybe you have to hear the entire bracha straight, and you're not allowed to be mafsik. It's like almost like a shomea kaona when you hear from the shliach tzibur, and maybe not to be mafsik with baruch hu baruch shemo. But the Torah doesn't say that the Rush said it for certain brachas, not for others. He just said that's what his father did. His father always said baruch hu baruch shemo. Okay, so elish b'medina omrim osa shalosh brachos b'mikdash bracha achas. That's the point we just highlighted, that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Birchas Kohanim consisted of three brachos, same words, and inside the Beis HaMikdash, one bracha. Again, it was the same words, same exact words. It's just a question of did they stop in between the different psukim for the amens. Once we're discussing differences between the way Birchas Kohanim is done v'Medina and the way it's done v'Mikdash, b'Mikdash Hashem Hashem k'ksavo u'k'Medina b'kinuyo. The Shem Hashem in the Mikdash, they would say it the way they would pronounce it, the way it was written. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, they would pronounce the way it was written. But in the Medina, it's like the way we say it with the Shem Adnos, we do it with the kinuy of the Shem Hashem. B'Medina Kohanim nosim esidem k'neg k'sveihem. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim would lift up their hands only to the level of their shoulders, not above their shoulders. U'b'mikdash al gabi rosheihem. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they would lift up their hands over their heads because they would say the Shema Mefurish and the Shechina was Shara Lamala. So that's why they would lift it up over their it was Lamala Mekishrei Etzvah Seim. It was right. That's where the Shechina came to Klal Yisrael from. So it was over their heads. Chutz mikohen gadol shein magbias yad of lamala minatzitz. The only one who wasn't able to lift his hands over his heads was a kohen gadol. Couldn't lift it lamala minatzitz. He was wearing the tzitz. The tzitz said kodesh l'Hashem. So it's impossible. We can't allow as someone to put their hands above where it says kodesh l'Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda amar af kohen gadol magbias yad of lamala minatzitz. Shenemar v'yisaronis yad of alam v'yivarchim. He says, what do you mean? Why can't we? It's the pasuk says that he's supposed to lift up his hands. So that's what the pasuk says. That's his mitzvah. That's how he's supposed to be mivarech. He's got to lift up his hands, even if it means going lamala min hatzitz. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Bizman shekohen gadol ratz lahaktir. When the kohen gadol wanted to be maktir, now we're not talking about the ktoris. We already spoke about the kohen gadol being maktir the ktoris. Now we're talking about if the kohen gadol chose that he wanted to be the one to burn the various limbs of the karban tamid on the mizbeach. So we discussed before that who would get to burn the limbs on the mizbeach. They did a lottery for it. Who gets to bring the limbs up? Either they did a lottery, or the same guys who brought them to the Kevesh in the first place would bring them the rest of the way to the top of the Mizbeach. But if the Kohen Gadol was interested in being Maktir, the Evarim on the Mizbeach, Hayolah B'Kevesh, he would go up on the ramp, Vaskan B'Yamino, the Skan was on his right side, he Gia L'Machsa Kevesh, and we'd get halfway up the ramp, so the Skan would give him a little extra nudge, a little extra push up the ramp. Vahoshilo Arishon Harosh Varegel. So the first guy would bring him the Rosh and the Regel, the Samachale and the Zarkar. And the Kohen Gadol would do smicha on them and would be Zarek them. Very interesting. This is what the smicha was, that he would do this the smicha on each of the limbs. It's not only this. So the Rosh writes that it says in Menachos, the hach smicha lav smicha gemurihi, dein smicha b'tzibur ala beis smichos, v'o dein smicha b'shchutin. Kind of smicha on a dead animal. You do smicha on an animal when it's alive. So it's a very unusual kind of smicha. Dein smicha zu el haros shavodos kohen gadol chashuva. Whenever the kohen gadol did something, we had to make it a little different. We had to show this is the kohen gadol, this is going to be a little different than when anybody else does it. So that's why they did the smicha. Hoshit hasheni l'rishon shtei adayim noson l'kohen l'kohen gadol v'samach. Then the next guy would give the two forelegs of the animal to the Kohen Gadol. He did smicha, he threw him on the fire on top of the Mizbech. Nishmat Hashem Yivhalachla, then the second guy walked away. And that's what they would bring, each of the Evarim, they would bring to him, and he would do smicha and be zorek into the fire on top of the Mizbech. Ubizmanshu Rotza, who's Samech Vacherim Zarkin? If he had a dead arm, a tired arm from throwing all the stuff, so if he wanted, he could just do the smicha, let someone else be Zarekit. So then he threw all the, after throwing all the limbs on the Mizbech, he went up to go around the Mizbech, Meichnu Maskil, which direction would he go? Mikaren Dromus Mizrachis, Mizrachis Tzvonus, Tzvonus Maravis, Maravis Dromus. He'd hook a right and then go all the way around. Nasan lo Yayin Lenasech, they would give him wine to be Menasech, to pour in the Mizbech. Hasgan Omid al Keren Vasudrim Biado. And the Sgan was standing there on the corner of the Mizbech with the flags ready to wave. Shnei, we will see why. Shnei Kohanim Omdim al Shulchan Achalavim. There were two Kohanim by the Shulchan Achalavim, Vishtei Chatzotros Biadam. And they were holding the two Chatzotros in their hands. And then they would go to Ben Arza, who was the first person to hold the position of band leader of the the Levim, but everyone who held that position after him was called Ben Arza. It's unclear why. I'm sure it's clear somewhere. I just don't know that. But everyone who held that position after him was called Ben Arza as well. Echem Yimino v'Echem Esmolo, one to his right, one to his left. Shachel and Naseich. The Kohen Gadol would now bend down to be Menaseich. So right away, that was the symbol. Everything would be set into motion. V'Hein of Askan B'Sudrim. The Askan started waving the flags. V'Hikish Ben Arza B'Tziltzel. Ben Arza started clapping the symbols together. V'Dibro Levim B'Shir. The Levim started singing. So it all, everything became Lebedik. Higiu L'Perek. Taku V'Shtach V'Laham. When they got to a to a break, there's a at the end of a paragraph of whatever it is that they were saying. So they blew tkiya, the shtach v'ham, and everyone bowed. I'll call parak tkiya. I'll call tkiya shtach avaya. By each parak there was a tkiya. By each tkiya there was a shtach avaya. Zeu seder tamid avodas peis alokenu. This was the seder tamid. This is we're finishing off the ikar part of Maseches Tamid. This was the seder tamid in avodas peis alokenu in our beis hamikdash. Yiratzon sheibana b'meher v'yameinu amen. We should be zocha. Sounds like that should be a great end to the Masechta, but there's one more Mishnah. So we should be zocha that it should be rebuilt Meir V'Yameinu, but that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the last Mishnah just lets us know what the Shira of the Levium was each day. What paragraph of Tehillim they would say for their song each day. Hashir Shai Levium Omer B'Mikdash B'Yom Rishon HaYom Rim. First day they would say, L'Hashem Aratzim Lo HaTevel V'Yoshiva. And the Rush tells you where you can find more discussion on this in Mufurish Brosh Shana, Parak Yom Tov, Al Shem Shekano, Olam HaVitzov, V'Shalit Ba'Olam. We talk about Hashem Aratzim Loa, obviously on the first day, because that was the first day of creation. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired his world by creating it on the first day. B'Sheni Yoyom, on the second day, Gadol Hashem Mulul Ma'od B'Yer Elokeinu, Har Kadsho. So on the second day, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Cholak Ma'asov U'Malach Aleihem, V'Nisal of Yashav L'Kisei Kvodo, so we talk about that, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gadol Hashem Mulul Ma'od, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his Kisei HaKavod. B'Shlishi Hayu Omrim, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel B'Kerav Elokim Yishpot. On the third day, because the Rush explains, Al Shem Shagala Tevel B'Chachmaso V'Heichna Kol Avodaso, that everything was set up to the for Avodas Hashem, so we talk about Hashem standing Ba'adas Kel. Barviyu Hayu Omrim, and on the fourth day we would say, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Sophia, because that's when the sun and the moon were created, and the sun and the moon gave rise to the possibility of people worshipping the sun and the moon. So we talk about how God is a vengeful God. He doesn't like the idea of people worshipping the sun and the moon, and he takes offense to that. And then on the fifth day they would say, that's because Ophos and Dagim were created on that day to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the Shavach that we give. B'shishi Yomrim Hashem Malachayos Lavesh V'Gomer, on the sixth day, that's what we would say, because that's when the Gemar Malacha was done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Malach over everything. B'Shabbos Yomrim Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos Mizmor Shil Asalavo Yom Shekul HaShabbos Menucha L'Chay. Obviously Shabbos, so we sing the Mizmashir Liyom HaShabbos, and that's a day that's going to be Shekulu Shabbos Menuchah L'Chayei Olamim. Hadron Lach Mizmash Kohen Gadol Slik Olam Maseches Tamid. It's Hashem. Next Maseches is all Mishnayos Midos. Oh, yeah.